Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
And it's a beautiful, sunny New York day. We have a very special guest coming on, Erin Bergreen. Erin is a comedian. Novel called Following Polly. Worked with Erin before. She's a very funny lady indeed. Oh, I'm trying out the new switchboard for my fellow chat room people. See a special guest in there. I bet he does. And let's begin with a little intro on Erin that kind of tells about herself.
Some people don't ever want to leave their baby, like, for the first couple of years. I think the first year, the kid doesn't even know who you are. Like, give them to a nun to raise for a year and then come and pick them up. By the time they can recognize you, that's when you want to be there to get the credit. After I became a mom, my persona changed drastically from being a very kind of objective, observational comic to becoming this kind of angry, frustrated mom. I started adding jokes about my kids, like, from before they were born. And then once I had kids, I learned that comedy was an incredible release for me. You just have this pent-up stuff that's going on all day, and, you know, you really, again, you don't want to let it out on your kids. It's a really kind of safe place to let it out on stage, and I didn't really use that before.
My five-year-old is overly honest. He says to me, "Mommy, Grandma's a better cook than you. The only thing I like better that you make than what Grandma makes is soup. And that's because you make less of it." I'm like, wow, that's so interesting. Because the only thing I like about you better than your little brother is that your school day is longer.
I like to read to my kids, and I like to have them read out loud to me. It's good for self-esteem.
Hey, Danny, can you read this to Mommy?
"Mommy is great. Mommy is perfect. Mommy is a better writer than Jonathan Franzen."
Falling Polly is the story of our protagonist, Alice Teekle, who's a bit of a loser with promise. And she's kind of down in her luck, has no boyfriend. She's just gotten fired. Nothing's going well for her. And she happens to see the perfect woman from college who has the best job, she's fabulous looking, she's married to, you know, the dreamiest man in the world, everything's great, her name is Polly, and Alice sees Polly, she's thinking, why does Polly have everything? I need to learn why Polly's so great, and things aren't going so well for me. So she decides to follow her, and she follows her all over the place, and then Polly ends up dead. And Alice, who's been following her all over the place, has left a trail of evidence that makes it look as if she's her murderer.
How did you get the idea for writing Following Polly?
I got the idea for writing Following Polly when I saw the woman from college who had everything, the perfect husband, the perfect job, everything, and I started following her, and she ended up dead. Her story is not unsimilar to my story. I used to be a lawyer, and at one point during that time, I did feel lost. I looked around at people that I was working with and felt disconnected from them. I was kind of treading water the way Alice was. Charlie, the romantic interest, the man, is based on no one. I love Facebook. I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and I'm getting more fans every day who really enjoyed Following Polly. I feel like we sort of know each other, and it's weird. Like, you just don't know who's going to pick up your book and like it. And often it's somebody who has, like, an obsessive Facebook habit like I have. Okay, hi, guys!
Cute. With the hugs.
Am I a mom or what? And here we are in the most important room in the house, the one with the TV. I have really good advice for moms and dads. Get a television. They're awesome.
Mommy, how do you even remember what you were supposed to say?
I'm a genius. Okay.
You always say that.
Well, there you go. I'm going to bring her on. I'll tell you a little bit about her. She's appeared on Comedy Central, The Oxygen Network, The Joy Behar Show, Law & Order, my favorite show. And she's been invited twice to perform at HBO's U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado. All right, why don't we just bring her on now with my new system here, and we'll see if we have Karen online. Karen?
Hi, Nancy. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Then we're good.
Oh, good. Yay. I love technology.
I like setting up your son. I used to do that to my son. Who's the funniest comedian in the world?
Right.
Mommy. Right answer. I want to say hello to Betty Jo from Real Talk Radio in Colorado. Thank you, Betty, for tuning in. You're terrific. That's in the chat room. Okay. Karen Bergreen, comedian. I was very interested to know that you were a lawyer.
Oh, did you not know that?
I did not know that, and I've performed with you.
I know. I was
I didn't
a lawyer
know you. What kind of law did you do?
I was a, I want to say I was a litigator, but I worked in a big law firm, which meant I, went through papers all the time. I didn't really do that much stuff in court. I did work for a judge for a couple of years, so I was in court a lot, which was fun, but I didn't
do
anything too exciting. I definitely was, it was more exciting to be on Law and Order than to be
a
lawyer.
Favorite. Where did you go to school?
To law school, I went to University of Minnesota, which is weird because I'm from here, but it's nice. I got to be in Minnesota where everybody's very blonde.
And cold, yes.
And
Scandinavians, or as they say, leave it to the Scandinavians.
Yes.
To leave the coldest, bleakest place on earth and move to Minnesota.
Absolutely.
So let's go back a little bit more about you. Okay, let's start a little bit. So, I know you as a comedian, just found out you were a lawyer on top of it, which I guess aided in the writing of Following Polly.
Yes, it did.
Because you do have a lot of legalese in there, and it explains a lot. I love the book cover, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And this is your first novel?
This is my first novel, but I have another one coming out next year. This one is coming out in paperback in August. And then I have another one coming out, similar kind of book, in next spring. So not a sequel, but it's called Perfect is Overrated. Another murder. It's a preschool.
Are we sticking with the P alliteration here? Polly,
yes.
Perfect?
Yes. Perfect, Polly, everything P. Next
All
one
right.
will be.
So did you get into law? Let's just let the audience know. So you're a New York comedian. Did you get into law comedy before or after law?
Oh, I got into comedy after law. I mean, I was always kind of like a performer kind of personality and funny. And I think, you know, I grew up watching, you know, L.A. Law, and I thought, wow, it's like that. It's exciting. And, oh, wow, so not exciting. It was really not what I thought. I mean, I think I just thought it was going to be more creative than it was, and it just wasn't creative enough for me, that kind of
so
life.
So when
and
did you start comedy then?
Oh, I started in comedy in the late 90s.
Late 90s, okay.
Yes.
And I know you also teach comedy now as well.
I do. I've been teaching comedy for about 10 years. I started teaching children, and then now I've been teaching grown-ups for about 3 years.
That's terrific. Okay. And that's in New York City if you're looking for it.
That's
but
in New York City, Manhattan
back
Comedy
Back to the book.
School.
The book. All right. Back at the book. All right. So you got the idea, as we heard previously, from a fellow student that you idolize. And did you actually follow her?
No, that was a joke. What ended up happening is I really had always thought in my head, you know, what if somebody became obsessed with just following somebody? It wasn't a specific person. It became specific when I started writing the book, but I just thought how New York, it really was inspired by New York and how there's something so anonymous about it, and you could literally pick somebody and just follow them for the whole day and they wouldn't notice you. But then when I started to write a book, I had to think of an actual person, just because it's more interesting that way. And then I created this character, which is really like a combination of everybody I've ever hated in my life. And that person became Polly. And that's how I came up with it. I did not, and frankly I ended up writing the book after I had children, because I'd been doing so much comedy. I'd been traveling a lot. Once I had children, I really had to stay home more. My comedy career kind of, I don't want to say plateaued, but it's kind of what happened. And I wanted to keep, you know, challenging myself creatively, so I started to write this book, and that's really what happened. And so I came up with the plot based on that.
Oh, in the chat room, Betty Jo Tucker from Real Talk Radio, that's another radio station, is listening to us. I love that. She has a question for you. She said, what is the most satisfying thing about being an author?
Finishing the book, being able to click send when you send it to your agent, actually is one of the things. I just really enjoy living the story. You know, I write a book. Both of the books now that I've written are books that I want to read. And I create the characters that I want to create. I live with them. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, inventing people who are around you. It sounds kind of kooky as I'm saying it. But
well, I think as a comedian, you tend to use that in your experience, because in comedy, in order for the joke to work, the people you're talking about have to be real in your
mm-hmm.
mind.
Absolutely. I mean, I really get to know them, and I really do not base any characters on any single person at all. And it's fun to get to meet them and add little qualities to them. You
do
know,
your friends
what they
ever
like to
come
eat.
Up to you, Karen, and go, is that me?
People have called, people from my childhood have called me and have said, oh, is Polly so-and-so? People always ask me if I'm Alice, the protagonist from the book, and I'm not. There are certain things about me that are Alice, but I'm not Alice. and then people ask, you know, if my husband is Charlie, and he's not at all. I mean, I feel the same way about my husband that Alice feels about Charlie, but I don't have, it's not my husband, it's not based on my husband at all.
So take us to the step, because a lot of people are interested in when people do write. What was the, I think I'll write a book moment for you?
You know, I think it was that, I think it was the feeling of wanting to do more creatively, wanting to really have a long process. I wanted to do something that would take me a long time. Like, as you know, the comedy, you write a joke and that's kind of, you know, it can take a long time to perfect it, but it can take 3 minutes to write. And I wanted to sit with, you know, a story. I wanted to have a story with characters. And I really do like to read so much. And I thought, I'd like to be in this population of people that creates these worlds. I think that's really what it was. I mean, it wasn't like I woke up one day and said, I'm going to write a book. I mean, I think I probably started writing after years of reading and having it in my subconscious.
What did you do? Did you go, you had the agent first, or you had the idea first?
I had, actually, it's sort of a boring story, but I wrote another book that's awful. It's somewhere in cyberspace. I have no idea where it is, and I have no desire to ever read it. But there were moments in it that were good, and I got an agent out of it.
Okay. So did you publish the book yourself?
No, I never published it. I mean, it's in cyber, and like I emailed it to somebody. So it's somewhere, but it's like four computers ago. Like, I never even saved a hard copy. It's that bad.
Oh, my goodness.
And but it was a really good, it's how I learned how to write a novel. It's how I learned what you need to do to make a plot, what you need to do to make characters.
Did you
stuff.
Take
it
a class?
It was basically like my PhD.
Or?
Huh?
Did you take a class? You just wrote it?
I didn't. I mean, the class was really writing it. It's because I really do read a lot, and so I just sort of got an idea of how these things go. But you really do have to sit down and write one to realize what.
Well, one of our listeners, actually, Betty Jo Tucker, she, by the way, I got her radio show. I got to find it, Betty Jo. What is it? Put it up there. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters. Now, Betty Jo, Karen, was a movie addict. And then she decided to, one time, she Movie Addict Headquarters, she decided to write a book. She also has a movie site called Real Talk And she does movie reviews, but she took her passion, as you did, and she wrote a book called Confessions of a Movie Addict.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, she was a mom, and she did the same thing, and now she's hosting a show, too. So it's great how the Internet, I think, has empowered a lot of people to pursue this. The fact that you have a book out, how old are your children now?
My oldest one is just 7, and my youngest one is just 5.
7 and 5, and you had time. When did you write this? At night?
You know, I wrote it a lot at night. I wrote it on the way to gigs. I mean, it really was, you know, it's a book about New York. It's really, like, yeah, Alice follows Polly all over New York. And literally, I would write, like, while I was on the way to a gig, I would write sort of observations on the subway, on the bus, on, you know, sitting in a green room. I really wrote a lot of those things, a lot of it in comedy clubs when they were asleep.
Now, are you very proficient at grammar and editing?
I'm pretty good. I as a lawyer, I had to learn that stuff. When you're a lawyer, you can't. So much of being a lawyer is detail. And while I'm horrible with detail, I had to learn it. So when push comes to shove, I can do it. But also, once you have a book published, they have somebody who copy edits the book for you, and they send it to you when the publisher, you know, when you send your final copy to the publisher, they hire somebody, or they have somebody in-house that copy edits it, and then they write it back with all their grammatical corrections, which is fantastic.
Oh,
I wish I had somebody like that in my house.
What is your website? Where can we get this book?
Oh, you can get any information from me. I actually have an author site on Facebook, which I really like, and I enjoy, and I like to communicate with people.
Slowly.
So it's if you go onto Facebook and you do Karen Bergreen, and then it'll have either me as a friend or me as an author. Either one is fine. The one as author has more stuff on it, but I love to chat with people. And then I also have a website, which is a little bit more formal, which is KarenBergreen.net.
KarenBergreen.net. Do you have the book there, Karen, by any chance?
I do.
Could you pick out a passage for us, a little taste?
Yeah. What would you, something maybe?
Something
maybe.
You love. I know you use a lot of New York description.
You know what
there.
I'm going to do is pick the point where she decides to follow Polly. It's in the very beginning.
Okay.
If that's good for you.
Yes, that works for me.
Okay, and I'm just going to say to you that the little setup here is that Alice has just gotten fired. Her mother wants her to go into therapy. She's never had a real boyfriend. She lives, you know, in Hell's Kitchen, which is kind of a gritty neighborhood in New York City. And she sees Polly, and here we are. Let's see. And she remembers her from college. Okay. So she sees her, I'm going back to when she sees her at college, where she went to Harvard. I went to Harvard, so I use the thing that I know. Okay. I met her my first day at Harvard. I had just entered Thayer South's cobweb, but otherwise unremarkable entryway, when I noticed a very striking girl trying desperately to unlock her room. "Do you need some help?" "Is it that obvious?" she said, and gave an exaggerated sigh. "I've never been good with keys." There was something endearing about this beautiful and together girl admitting that she was not good with something. I tried the door and was equally unsuccessful. "I hope Harvard isn't trying to say something," the girl said modestly. I laughed, my loneliness starting to melt. "Wait, I have another idea." I pulled out my fresh ID and wedged it in the door. Nothing happened. "Just like MacGyver," I said bitterly. "Thanks, Alice," the girl said warmly. She knew my name. I was flattered and at the same time confused. How did she know? I hadn't told her. She read my mind. "I'm not a witch or anything. Your name is on your little break-in gadget," she said, chuckling. "And I noticed that you and I have the same birthday, April 2nd. We could be twins." "Oh, sure, twins." I was awkward with brown hair and an iffy complexion, and she was the Breck girl. "This is not a bad picture. I wish I could be half that photogenic." "Let me see," I asked, curious to see if this pretty girl could actually take a bad picture. She reached into her pocket and pulled out her card. First I saw her name, Polly Linley. Then I saw her picture. It was the most perfect photo I had ever seen. In person, this Polly wasn't flawless. Her face was a little pointy, and her blonde hair, though straight and shiny, was a little thin. None of these imperfections found their way into their cheap school ID photo. Polly not only looked flawless, she looked warm. I glanced at my own card. My hair was flat on my face, and I had several burgeoning pimples. The photographer also took the picture before I got a chance to smile. Maybe we could use your ID. Your picture might open a door that mine can't. It was worth a shot. I had seen enough episodes of This Old House to know that Massachusetts locksmiths were not at the top of their game in the 1880s. Polly handed me her ID, and I had put it in the door. Voila. Click. The door opened. Great job, Alice, Polly said warmly. I can tell we're going to be the best of friends. Polly went into her room and, for lack of a better expression, closed the door in my face. I didn't see Polly until later in the week at our official dorm welcome party. When I came in the door, she headed toward me. Hi, Polly, I said enthusiastically. Oh, she did not look at me, but rather through me. Hi, and then she effusively greeted the gorgeous hockey player who came in behind me. Polly hadn't only lied about my photo being better than hers. She had also lied about not being a witch. We didn't speak for the rest of the year, nor would we speak for the 3 years after that. She's a user, my roommate and now best friend Jean Middleton had told me when I relayed the story months later, and she'll get hers. And that's
and then it begins.
And she
then
does.
It begins, the process. And it's interesting. You have a lot of twists and turns on there. I think I have a review up on Amazon for the book. And so, but it does have a lot of twists and turns. I like how I did like it in that Law and Order type way.
Yes. I mean, Alice is obsessed with TV. She's particularly obsessed with Law and Order. And the plot moves like a Law and Order thing where it's the same thing where, you think you know who the killer is on at every moment, and then it's shot down. So,
dum-dum.
Yeah, right. I had that in my head. You know, I'd seen every episode of Law and Order except for the one that I was in.
Oh my God! Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very funny.
I don't like seeing myself and stuff, but I really, but I do watch a lot of TV. I mean, the character is one of the things about Alice that's like me is that she's obsessed with television. And
I believe there's a part in there where she doesn't leave her house for a while, isn't it?
Right. She's kind of a recluse. She lives in a fantasy world. So, and this the murder takes her out of the fantasy and into reality. So,
now can I ask you, when you say you use kind of you get pictures of people, her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with her apartment? Was that an apartment you had lived in at once?
Her apartment in Hell's Kitchen is kind of a combination of two apartments that I lived in. The apartment that Charlie lives in, where she ends up staying when she's running for the law, is the apartment of an old boyfriend of mine.
Okay.
And it was just a way to picture the places. It's funny, all the people in the novel are completely figments of my imagination. I mean, they're mixes of personalities from people and personalities that I think would be sort of interesting, but the places are all places that I've been. Her parents' apartment is the apartment of wealthy friends of mine from growing up. Charlie's apartment is of a boyfriend of mine who I had very fond feelings for, and so it was, it was to remember the way it looked in that kind of in love way is interesting to me. It was interesting for me to write. So every single, even the party where the New Year's party is, an old friend of mine who used to live in a loft downtown. So every apartment is specific places because
okay.
It's easier
it's
to
nice.
Picture.
If you're reading the book, ladies and gentlemen, you'll like it in that it does, and if you like Law and Order, you're going to love this book. But it does use a lot of New York. It does use, you have a very view of from your...
Are you there? Nancy?
Karen, are you there?
That was weird. Are you there?
That was weird. Here I am. Okay. Phone died.
Yeah.
Talking about death. See what happens?
Right. I know.
No, so it's great. So tell us again where they can get the book.
Well, right now you can really, I think you can only get it now because it's coming out in paperback, so they don't have many hardcovers left. But you can get it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And if Borders still exist, Borders.com.
You can get it on sale at Borders right now.
Yeah, you can probably get it for 25 cents at Borders. And
but we'd rather you pay full price so she gets
right, the commission. Right, they'll pay you. You can also get it on all the e-readers. And then if you want to have a paperback to read over the end of the summer, it's going to be in all your bookstores and stuff. It'll
so
be in all the major bookstores and indie bookstores.
Slowly, the websites.
Oh, the website for me.
Yeah.
Is KarenBergreen.net, and also feel free to friend me on Facebook. I love chatting on Facebook. I'm addicted. And it's B-E-R Green, Karen. You can either become an author fan if you don't want to actually have a conversation with me, or you can just friend me.
Or
but my
friend,
author
sir.
Page is sort of fun.
All right, give us that website again.
It's KarenBergreen.net, KarenBergreen.net.
And where will you be performing next?
Oh, wow. I'm actually going to be in Nebraska this week at the Great American Comedy Festival, which is the celebration of Johnny Carson and his legacy in Norfolk, Nebraska. So if anybody happens to be listening from our nation's midsection.
Well, Betty Joe from Real Talk.
Yeah,
she's in Colorado. Betty Jo, you want to hop
over? Nearby. All those states are next to each other. That's how we think of New York.
That's how we think of it. Well, you've been a great guest, and tomorrow I just want to do a shout-out for Betty Jo's show at 4 p.m. on Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Listen to Movie Attic Headquarters with Betty Jo Tucker. Betty Jo, thank you for joining us in the chat room, and other guests, thank you for joining us in the chat room. Our guest today has been Karen Bergreen, author of Following Polly. You're going to love this book. This is a great beach book. Get this book paperback when? August?
August. I don't have the exact pub date. I'm sorry.
But if you Facebook friend her, I'm sure she will Facebook
that
information.
Yes, I will.
And I want to thank you, Karen, for being a great guest on
thank
the show
Thank you,
today.
Nancy. You're a great hostess.
Hostesses, and congratulations on your comedy gig.
Okay, thank
that's
you so
terrific.
Much. Terrific.
Okay. All right, we'll go out in a little music. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Nancy.
Bye.
I once dreamed of being chased through a dollhouse by a white lobster that wore glitter and spoke with a French accent. Now, what this meant, I'll never know. But I do know if I told anybody, I'd be labeled a lunatic. And labeling wrongly, unless it's for the public good. Let's say you're at a party, and you can take out a labeling gun and start tagging people like they do in Wild Kingdom. Wacko. Loser. Or your boss is really nice. Except in an earthquake, you'd really be thinking, he's old, he's slow. I can beat him to the Georgia. Oh, yeah, LA is a jammed up situation. I have enough faults, I wouldn't purposely build my home over one. The one time I was naive enough to think that generic food was for the elderly. You're probably right.